God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to dwell on. God's word to feed us. God's word to nourish. God's word to lead us this day is from the epistle lesson. And here Paul is instructing a young pastor, Timothy. And he began the first chapter with how blessed Timothy was with his grandmother Eunice and his mother who reared him and nourished him in the faith. And now he's a pastor. Now he needs some comfort, some strength, some words of encouragement, and words to guide him. And so in 1 Timothy, the end of 1 Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. So I want you to think upon this and ponder this and think about this word of contentment. What does contentment mean to you? Is it the clothes you wear? Is it the house you live in? Is it the car you drive or the truck that you have? What gives you contentment? What makes you happy? What makes you joyful? In Rotary on Mondays, we have what's called Happy Books. And we go around the room giving a dollar and saying, well, what made you happy this last week? Pondering that tomorrow is Rotary and pondering the good Happy Book. Is that I'm back, and that Karen and I survived 3 weeks together in a camper. I'm content. I'm happy. What gives you contentment? Well, there were three guys around the coffee table, and I can see this of the table that I have sit at coffee on Wednesday morning with a group of guys. And the word contentment came up. And one gentleman said, you know, if I win the lottery, then I will be content because I'll have all the money I need. A second gentleman said, you know, oh, I just detest this town, man. You know, if I just get enough money to move from this town, that will make me content. Third guy, he puts a little religious spin on it. He says, you know, where is God in all of this? Well, the first guy, he didn't miss a beat. He says, you know, if God was full of love and loved me, then I would be rich and happy. What brings you contentment? See, Paul is writing to this Timothy. He's also writing to us. What does it mean to be content? What does it mean to have everything in your life and be full of this joy and this happiness and be able to smile and smile at everybody and just have a good outlook on life? What does it mean to be content? Traveling around in our camper and going into these campgrounds, Karen always has this, let's do a walkabout. Let's do a walk around the campground. And it's amazing what you see when you walk around the campground. You see the seasonal campers, the ones that have been there for weeks and weeks and months. Sometimes they're really decorated up. Sometimes it looks like a shack, a hunting shack. And it's strewn with thorns and thistles and all of this stuff. What makes a person content? It's interesting how we put our lives into things to make us content. Or we put our lives in places to go to be content. Or maybe it's the houses we live in that make us content. But you know, God has a strong word for us. And he says, no matter what, anyone with the toys is still going to die. Those with the big houses are still going to die. Those with the fancy campers going all over the country and RVing and seeing things, they're still going to die. Those who are putting their contentment in money. And did you get the hint what Paul wrote to Timothy? It's not money that causes evil. It's the love of money. It's the love of things. It's the love of those things in the world that will cause great harm and evil in one's life. So I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about what gives you great contentment. The crux of what Paul is writing to Timothy is saying that the love of God and what God has for you in your life, that God supports you, sustains you, God encourages you, God lifts you up, God strengthens you wherever you are through his word and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the crux of Paul's message to Timothy. And he's starting to end this by saying, fight the good fight of faith. Be noble, be strong, be steadfast in that faith. Live that faith accordingly. Because you know that you are a very fragile person and your faith is very fragile. It can break apart in any minute or any hour of the day, especially when Satan starts to squirrel in your head and he starts to bring evil thoughts to you and the knowledge that maybe God is tricking all of you. Maybe God is saying that he's got a palace for you in a room, but it really ain't so. This is what the message of Satan is there. So Paul is saying to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of that good confession of Jesus Christ and what Jesus has for you. This is what God has for you, brothers and sisters in Christ, because you're my family, and because we're all family, and we all struggle in our faith. We all struggle in what God tells us about being content with all that he has for us. His grace, his mercy, his love, his contentment. The disciples were in the upper room with Jesus. And we see this image of Jesus at the table. And tells his disciples, in the world, you will have rage and tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. I have overcome your fears. I have overcome your struggles. I have overcome all those things in your life. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to that confession of faith. You know, we confess God as Father and Almighty and Maker of heaven and earth. And we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we also confess the Holy Spirit. God in one with three persons, Father, Son, of Holy Spirit, we confess. Paul is telling Timothy to hold on to that good confession. He's telling us to hold on to that good confession as well. In the world that we see, the evil that goes on, the violence that is present, the killing of innocent people, yet hold on to the good confession. Hold on to that because, Christians, you are next. Because Satan is after us. We don't have to worry. He doesn't have to worry about the evil people, the terrible people, the guys that do all this horrible stuff. Satan's already got them. He's after you. Peter calls him a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's seeking us to devour. So Jesus, Paul, says, hold on to the good confession. Hold on to that which you have, that you will not be blown away, and you will be strong, and that you will be able to fight the good fight of faith. In Christ's holy name, amen.